the, at the end of the day, people are affected by a number of factors. Children are affected by a number of factors. You can only be negatively impacted by that music or by any lifestyle if you're so impressionable that these things are so overwhelming that you get swept along with them. Because there are children who've been taking minibuses for years, and I know a couple of them, take minibuses for years with all the music, but they still maintain their discipline. They still do well in school. You know, they're mannerly. They have a perspective on what they want to do with their lives and so on. It has a lot to do basically with what they are learning at home, right? Mm-hmm. So I really do not necessarily agree that because somebody's getting a minibus and they're hearing a lot of music and getting a lot of these negative forces coming at them that they will just automatically change. At the same time, I know that the most impressionable people, it will impact on. Because if what you're getting there is a continuation of what you get at home or your home environment, then, you know, it doesn't help your situation at all. So it can be impactful, but at the same time, I don't believe in these blanket statements, because there are always some children who, despite all of this thing, still rise. And you know, one of the things about education, one of the things about discipline, about having the right family environment, and this is whether you have a single parent or whether you come from a poor house, it is about the individual, and about the individual recognizing what they want in their lives. And there are some people at a very young age who know exactly what they want, and they strive for that. And I think that we do not, as adults, give some children credit for knowing what they want. They may not go about it the way in which we want them to go about it, but they know what they want and they go after it. And we have some tremendously successful young people in this country. They're doing very well for themselves.
You see, I'm really speaking about the deviant ones, that trying to be, I don't know why young people of today are trying to be vagabonds.
But there were always deviant people, and there will always be deviant people. All right. The thing is that you have to focus on the deviant people, because they're making life miserable for everybody else. But the reality is that the vast majority of Barbadian children behave themselves, and they're trying to do something with it, positive with their lives.
We know that. But when one person is stabbed or beaten, also, you know, that is like putting a whole series of children in jeopardy. They don't know when their turn will come. You understand what I'm saying? They don't know what will happen with them later on. Because we have to find a way. We see the person don't come with an idea to stamp out these things or try to get them stamped out. It just goes on and on and on, maybe for years. And, you know, and we try to polish up things by using fancy lures and so on to get it. Make mm-hmm. people believe that all the children in Barbados ain't like that. We know all the children are not like that. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are doing the things, those are the ones that we have to get to. And no person seems to got the
only answer. Way that we're going to get the answer is if, and this, I'm saying this now for the third time, I'll try not to say it again, is if the ministry, the folks in the ministry, the folks in the teachers union, and the parent teachers association sit down and begin to have a proper discussion on the way forward, and to come up with a comprehensive plan. This is one, to deal with the situation of the deviants and the bad behavior in the school itself. Also one, to deal with what you're going to do with all those children who behave in that way. And three, how are you going to get the resources to put more social workers in place and whatnot? And four, how they're going to address some of the deficiencies that they're seeing as well in some of the homes in Barbados. It is not, you can't just go in a piecemeal way. It has to be a comprehensive plan, but it has to be properly discussed by everybody.
I agree with you, and I hope you're listening to what you just said, so you won't have to repeat yourself again, and it makes very much sense. So I hope they're listening. I hope they are listening, because people don't think that the moderator does have any good decisions, but you've made a proper statement to them. So should listen and do something about it. Thanks very much.
All right, sir. Thank you. I must apologize to listeners. I should have said just now that we would be trying to verify that Mike Tyson is dead. I didn't say that. It was just wrapped around in knuckles that I should have said that, and I was totally wrong, and I do apologize. We are trying to verify that Mike Tyson has died. We're looking for that evidence right now, and if it is so, then we'll bring it to you. But I'm not saying that it is so. I do apologize. I want to read this WhatsApp message. It's a bit long. It says, but Sanka, 90% of parents and grandparents and aunties work, and most of the jobs in Barbados are in the greater Bridgetown or southern areas. Who are the children going home to in these times? To be up to mischief? Zoning is not the problem. A proper transport system for school children, a proper after-school system needs instituting to reflect the fact that we are a working society and parents, grandparents, and even in some instances, great-grandparents are working. These blanket concepts, or the common entrance, the zoning, sound sexy but are very outdated. We need proper post-school programs for children or flexi time for parents and children, but zoning strictly cannot solve the mess in education. As a country child of not too distant vintage, I cannot imagine what my socialization would have been had I not been exposed to different environments, as opposed to growing up in the country. Living in the country and going to school in the country would have given me. I'd like to thank 0316 for that. I think it's a very thoughtful message. We'll take a commercial break and we will be right back. Welcome back. It's 11:02. You're on the air. Good
morning. Yeah, how are you? Good morning. How are you today?
I am fine, thank you, sir.
Okay, fine. I hope that when the new government comes into office, the ridiculous sandals deal be torn up.
Why is the sandals deal so ridiculous?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it's unfair to the others in the other industry players. It's simply too sweet, actually, right? It's very important too. Sandals deal was signed on the 18th of October 2013.
All right, before you get into your stride, you said it is unfair to the other industry players. Could you explain to listeners why it is unfair to other industry players?
Right. The Sandals Barbados received $500 million in concessions. 40 years of no tax or low tax, exemption from land tax, 150 work permits, right? Then virtually they have a virtual private beach without calling it such, right? You got, they had a destruction of the wooded area in that said area. Then they have their own beach craft, like the jet skis, et cetera, et cetera. They had confusion in the road building, flooding in the area. They paid low wages to their employees, including the operators, right? Even Sir David Steele expressed disappointment that in spite of all the deals, the concessions that Sandals received, they still to even purchase a local bottle of rum. As recent as the 14th of December, the Crane Resort owner, among other players, they said that a level playing field is needed so that they can compete fairly with the big foreign hotel investors, right? So that is the sort of deal that he get. Now, you would note that in Antigua and Barbuda, Then Mr. Brown came to office. He tore up the Sandal deal, and it wasn't even nearly as sweet as what the one in Barbados had. Because of what was happening in Antigua, he used to collect 65% of the sales tax on the rooms. And that was only supposed to run for 13 years, right? That was only supposed to run for 13 years. But Mr. Brown teared up. And he said that it was illegally done because the rest of the players must have a level playing field. He actually told Sandals operator that Antigua and Barbuda is, yes, they need the business, but they will survive with or without the Sandals project, right? So I'm saying, yes, that deal is really too sweet. That really is too sweet. Now, I can remember Chris, Mr. Sinclair. He spoke on the 11th of March, 2015, and he addressed the CMBHCA players. And he said the Sandalese concessions were granted through from a different perspective altogether. So the rest of the players should not be getting the same thing. Can you imagine one? And look, the government is taxing Barbadians to the hilt, and they give away one entity $500 million in concessions. You understand? So that is why.
I also heard Mr. Sinclair made the point in the estimates that is either the estimates or a speech he made before.
Estimates.
I really can't recall.
Yeah.
That you know the investment is now $700 million.
The investment.
You mean that Sanders investment is now $700 million, and they employ just over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And that justifies basically what the concessions have.
Sanders, if you give a man $500 million in concessions, and he said they continue to build, they build now their investors, well, basically that's the exchange. No, you
but,
don't
but
hear
you realize that Sanders was supposed to come here for years. Before Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You remember years before that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Sanders wasn't coming, and then the property was then sold and it was taken over to be done into the Four Seasons project. But the whole thing about it is that the concessions brought them. So all I'm
that
asking,
so
no,
sweet.
Just hold a second, just a second. All I am saying is that when one says that these concessions were too sweet and that they should not have been done, you have to look at the consequences as well. Of course, and just let me finish, if I were a hotelier, and especially a local hotelier, a Barbadian hotelier, and I've been paying my dues, my taxes to help develop the country, to help do everything else in Barbados, and somebody comes in here and they can bring in from grass to from a grain of sand up, you know, I would be extremely upset, and I would also think that I am at a disadvantage, because I would be. So I could understand people saying that the deal was too sweet, because technically, when you think about it, it disadvantages every other hotelier who's really making even a greater contribution, in my view.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think we have to structure how we examine the whole thing. Was government so desperate for foreign investment that they did this? Clearly, it seems to me that they were. Okay.
Yes.
But at the same time, has this not paid off for the government?
No, it hasn't.
Hasn't it not paid off, in your view?
No, yes. My view is, right, first of all, it's all-inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So the money is not getting to Barbados. The money is not getting... Now, if you notice, you said, Mr. Chris, I heard him too. He spoke in the estimates about... Do you hear him mention any figures? He don't mention figures. I can remember the last press conference the Minister of Tourism had, he raised figures. He said how much the Hilton made, how much some hotel down in the West made, but he never ever say how much Sandals made. You don't say what Sandals made. Sanders don't bring no foreign exchange to Barbados. How come Sanders ran foreign exchange and look at our foreign exchange now? And I would like Mr. Singh. Look, he said he got a whole week in there with estimates. I would like Mr. Singh. Last year, the 27th of February, Mr. Singh said $382 million were spent on foreign loans. Why doesn't Mr. Singh? Let's see how much money now. Now, if you had the end of the year last year, he got $410 million. He's supposed to pay away $382 million this year for foreign exchange. Well, that only leaves him back with $28 million. Why, Mr. Singh, take a whole week in the parliament with the SEC and he don't give these figures? Sanders don't make no great foreign investment to Barbados. All their funds are placed at home. So Sanders could walk all over Barbados and build every hotel because that the deal that he got is too sweet. Nobody should not be getting one of one. I can remember in 2012 when Ms. Morley got up and said that the local hoteliers need an immediate $300 million fund. They laugh at her and ask her, where is the $300 million going to come from? To give one man or one entity $500 million. That needs to be torn up. Mm-hmm. That needs to be torn up.
You have another point, sir?
It's a short program, sir. I'll just get in.
All right. Okay, Thanks for your contribution. I always look forward to talking to you. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, morning.
Good morning, sir. 11:11, and you are on the air.
Just to the previous caller, even though, you know, it is true. I mean, sweet deal. And you don't even know, and they speak to campaign financing as well, too. That's how international business is done, believe it or not. But it employs Beijing's, man. It employs and employ over 1,000 Beijing's soon. That's the only problem. You know, when you're employing people and you pay them a foreign, because when you employ Beijing's through an operation like that, they're not paid with Barbados money, you know. They get paid with U.S. money. And that's where the investment in Barbados comes. And then you got the promotion. You got to say both sides, man. The promotion that Sanders brings to Barbados is promotion that Barbados can't even afford to pay for. And you don't think Butch Stewart knows all that? You don't think the government's bent over backwards because they recognize that? You know, the people that run Barbados have been running Barbados for a long time, as indeed Antigua Trinidad. They're not stupid people, you know. Just get on that way in public and you just get the impression that they're really stupid. But they're not stupid people. And to tell you the truth, I prefer them to be stupid because they can say, you know, I can forgive you. But when you see people making, intelligent people making bad decisions, you can't forgive them. You really can't. But, you know, the side to that particular decision is the fact that Barbados are now working for foreign exchange. I worked for Intel, you know, for 4 or 5 years. Cross on the Far East and things. I worked for U.S. money. Every cent that I made working for an international company like that was paid in, not, it was paid in Barbados dollars, but obviously it came through a U.S. bank, which is Chase Manhattan. And, you know, recognizing that is inflows is something that you can't really turn your back to. You can't bury your head in your sand. So sometimes it's got to bend over backwards, and maybe you bend over backwards too much or too far. It's not a matter of bending over backwards to please the so-called investor. It's how far you bend over. And they think that's probably where the argument is. But, yeah, that's only to follow on for what the last caller was saying. If you could forgive me. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You play right into my hands most times, you know, because they call you the great apologist. You can apologize. Well, you don't apologize for me one these days. By using expert at apologizing and be, you know, you can talk so profoundly on people who have said things that really and truly should be offensive. But that's all right. That's your skill. Maybe you'll do it for me one these days. You said, there are young people in Barbados who do very well for themselves. Very well for themselves. And that's a good thing, isn't it? It's supposed to be a good thing. They're not doing very well for Barbados, you know, but they're doing very well for themselves. That's a key. And the second thing is, but you have to focus on deviants. Deviant people, because they're the ones who are making life miserable for everyone else.
I say that we focus on deviants. Not that you have to focus. That we focus on deviant people.
Well, we focus on deviants. Maybe we should. But here's the thing. Why not focus, basically, whether they're deviant or the ones mainstream accepted people. Why not focus on all people who just make life miserable for everybody else.
Because so I start with you?
You know something? I smile. See, that's a compliment, man. That's a compliment. Because you don't make life miserable for no moderators. They always find a way to get rid of it, man. They find a way. They put down the phone in your ear, you know, they talk bobbing, you put down your phone, but you laughing. But at least I could say I made you miserable for some point.
Me? You don't make me miserable, man. I love to hear you. I love to challenge you because you're one of these fellas that you really excited, and this is before I even came on the program. I always used to look forward to hearing you.
Oh dear. I got a target on my forehead now. Man, you get paid. You see all this kind of promoting, I think. I ain't asked for it here, my man. So don't. Come on, man. That's you. That's your doing. If anyone would put a target, it got me put your forehead and not mine. All right? I don't really
talk. They're ready, so.
Oh, Lord. I am not here. I'm going to be popular. I ain't running a party. You're running for no votes tonight. So it's just a matter of recognizing that things have happened. And they need to be commented on. That's basically all that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing about being doing well for yourselves cannot be the do all and end all. I hear Mr. Innes this compliments to the previous caller. Every time he speaks, he always brings numbers and stuff. Man, he is so damn fascinating as something else. But he's a B. I have a problem with that. But he's really, at least you can break numbers down. He's fixated on numbers, and I think that's something that people should really be complimenting of. Right, that's another matter.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Donovan Innes talks about how, okay, fund access will one day be self-supporting. And, you know, we don't need to put money behind that anymore. And the fund access stuff on the other one, Enterprise Growth Fund has been doing its thing and so on and so on. You know, yeah, okay, fine, you want to go and help out people who barbers and people who do charge for their times, like, and small-scale, you know, bakeries and... What else is there? No? Well, bakeries not a problem with bakeries. You want to charge people, you know, the beauticians and the dentists and all these people who get off there and they do their little thing. They are going to do well. Some of them will make Barbados miserable, I mean, as a charge for their time. They're not deviant because they're very well mainstream. And when they charge for their time, let me tell you, they can charge anything they want and you really got to pay. And that makes you miserable as a citizen. But basically, you're just facilitating businesses that feed on Barbadians. Mm-hmm. They feed... Like
what is
they
the crux?
You
get to the point, because I suspect
really,
I know you're coming from. So get to the point.
Wait, hold on, you talk so much slower than I do. I just gotta wait for you to get and develop, and then you deliver. And you're making this play.
You use a fastball. I'm just a spinner.
But you want to spin, so you want me now to I'm a spinner.
But I'm bowling a ball. I bowl faster,
and I'm a long hop bowler. You know, and I bowling a long hop. I'm saying. Export-led development.
Precisely. I know that's where you're coming to, so get to it, right?
Man, no, but...
It's a good point.
You want to talk to me then? You want to talk for me?
No, but it's something that... It is something that I often hear you talk about, and I think that you have some good ideas there, and I think that you use the next couple of minutes to talk about it. And you're basically trying to say that this is what we should be encouraging in Barbados. And you're so correct.
Neither the Democratic Labour Party on with Donovan Innes or the Barbados Labour Party under Owen Arthur was making those pronouncements in those days, have the slightest idea. They're not even shooting at the target. Then they're missing the target completely when it comes to public policy with regards to that kind of activity. Completely missing the target. In fact, it's Arthur who decided that. No, I'm sorry. He's now Honourable Arthur, whatever. He was going to change the name from the BADC, which is Barbados Industrial Development thing, into Barbados Investment. And that was the clear message right there and then, that we are not worried now about people actually making stuff. We don't think that it's important for Barbados to make stuff that the rest of the world has to buy. All we got to do is make sure that we get those people who are involved in services out there and get them earning foreign exchange. And here's the kick, for themselves. They'll bring it into Barbados or they'll invest it in buildings out in Florida or something, but it is not going to be benefiting Barbados on the whole. Some might pass through the central bank and we say, oh, we've got some foreign reserves, but they are out there doing well for themselves, making the rest of us miserable. Now, these are the ones who are, we consider the mainstream. These are guys who get scholarships and stuff, and they go abroad and they do these things and they come back and they say, my man, I ran this study 7 years. You got to pay me for my time now. My time. And there's a problem. Because I can't assess your time based on the value to Barbados. Because there really is no real value that could be created that way. I have to pay you for that time because that's what you think you are worth. And that's what the industry says that you're worth. And therefore, Barbados is going to be miserable as hell because they ain't got the choice to pay you. Because invariably, ain't got the choice but to go visit these people. And they're going to be running your country for the longest while. So here's the thing. If you have something that is concerned with those people who do stuff, like grow plants, grow food, make furniture that should be in every goddamn hotel. And once you build a hotel, or once the taxpayers put the money behind the hotel, or you give a mark tax concessions to build a hotel, Barbados-made furniture should be inside there. I don't care what it costs, because it'd be Barbados, but you'd be paying for it. The only raw material, the only export cost for that would be raw material cost. You know, but, I mean, at least the construction companies get a little piece of Barbados business. But as it's happening now, because the Chinese have found a way to get around that, and you will not let me say that up sentence, because you probably know where you're going with that particular thing. But the reality is that the construction companies are losing out too big time. At least not with Stuart, because Stuart employed, I think, I don't know which companies they were, but they're all Barbadians.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least the construction workers, by the thousands, got some kind of work out of that there. So that was one. At least that still happens.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the day, the people who dictate policy in Barbados are not the ones who grow, not the ones who make furniture. They're not the ones who build, mm-hmm. who paint. You know, create stuff out of nothing. They're not the people who actually do stuff and say to the rest of the world, I am doing something that you should be buying. No. Them guys are involved with that. They're involved with saying, you know something, I worth $5,000 an hour, and when I going to have to pay me. Mm. And you know, the funny thing about that is that when you talk about gross domestic product, you know, the combination, the collection of all the trade, the how much people buy and sell in Barbados, all that business activity, mm-hmm. a great proportion of that is involved with the salaries that these people make. But there's no substrate attached to it. So if I increase my rates to people in Barbados, it's not only the people who charge for their time, but the landlords too, big time. If I increase my rates or my rentals or whatever, then the gross domestic product goes up. You're not producing anymore. You're not being any more competitive in the rest of the world because you're saying you can produce cars better than Japan. All they're doing is they're increasing the rates of these people and the rent that they're charging. And these are the people who would be dictating policy, who have been doing so for the past 51, almost 58 years in Barbados. And look at me and tell me, you can look at me and tell me that we shouldn't be seeking a change away from that. Huh? We should not be saying, okay.
We really need to look at a change. And again, this is where I keep saying it all the time. You know, we have to, how do we get this change? How do we get the different?
Vote new. You have to keep voting new. You can't fire somebody and tell them to come back in 5 years. When you fire, you're gone. Don't come back. Because they came back with the same damn foolishness. When you fire a political party, they're gone. That's it. Keep voting new, and eventually the playing field will be open for individuals who will not have the confidence of
saying, it's also open for more chaos.
That I can play in because
and
I know
it's also open for more chaos.
For what?
It's also open for more chaos. You see, this is where, to my mind,
you know this? I mean,
to my mind,
no.
But
none. I mean,
but
chaos. But
all we're going to have is a whole
right
bunch
now.
Of people.
You know what happened in South Coast? I didn't mean to overtalk you, but what's happening in South Coast is exactly explains what it is I'm speaking about. Two parties involved with that crap. Mm-hmm. And because it is that you have not really made a change, that crap was allowed to develop to the point where it is that you know you have a crisis.
I wouldn't know. It's much more involved than that. Come on.
There is a design problem. And the design problem was started X years ago. I mean, come on. You know, the thing about these groups is that they employ experts. They do. They have a lot of good Barbados, produce a lot of brilliant minds who can advise properly. But in that environment that we have, where you have that one party, two-faction party, they don't listen to advice. Because sometimes advice is too damn expensive, or perhaps the wrong people are giving the advice. You know how many reports they have catching dust in some cabinet, in Parliament, or Lord knows where to keep them? Every year or every 4 or 5 months, you have my man, what's his name, the guy who was on TV, I forgot his name though, the Minister of Human something or the other, reading up from some report that was done, AIDS has been reduced in Barbados, or we still have AIDS after 50 years, or poverty in Barbados has increased or reduced. He's always reading for some report. I don't know who does those reports. I don't know how much money they get paid, and I'm glad the people get the commissions. I am glad they're academics. And, you know, some of those my friends and stuff, I ain't got no problems with that there. I mean, artists don't get academics, but they do. But when you get the advice, what the hell do you do with it? And if maybe the advice is given, not really advice, really, because no, they like to stick to broad policy documents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't really want any kind of prescriptive documents, because that makes them want to do something or advises them to do something. And I'm saying, my friend, that you have an environment where they don't even want to have advice anymore. They just do what they think is necessary to win an election. And that is both sides. It's not one.
All
we
right,
cannot
sir.
Continue.
Anyhow,
understand?
I had it for a long, long run, and we got to go. You made your point, though, but thanks, Mr. Anti-America himself. We take another call.
A very good morning to you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson's not here today.
Oh,
at least he's on
however,
a different station today.
However, still greetings to your good self.
Thank you.
I crave your indulgence, sir. permitting me to make two submissions. Firstly, a number of years ago, then an alleged killing of a schoolgirl was murdered in a bathroom at one of our secondary schools in the civil part of Christchurch. I had immediately called for the introduction for metal detectors and to be introduced at all of our schools. I recalled a sitting member of parliament disagreed with the idea by saying it would make people's children criminals. Scores of years after, while still lobbying for its introduction, I took note that during the last quarter of 2017, persons from the cloth and magistrate, top-ranking security officers, teachers, parents, and members from the public has joined my call, but it is unfortunate and a pity that the Minister of Education had not seen the wisdom for its introduction of the metal detectors.
Sir, let me stop you right there, because I recognize your reading. Let me just stop you right there. I would have said earlier on as well that I agree with Mr. Jones. So it's not only Mr. Jones. Anybody who knows anything about our school plants in Barbados would know that even if you put metal detectors at the two or three main entrances, and that is several thousand dollars involved, if you're going to do that, you are still not going to be able to stem the amount of knives or cutlasses or whatever that go into school. The plants, the way how the schools are built in Barbados, they're button-bound different people's residences, they're button-bound playing fields, and grass areas, so that people can go from, children can go behind those areas, throw things over the fence, and get weapons in. So that when they walk through the doors, they don't need metal detectors. It just does not make sense. It is better to have random searches.
Okay, I understand the line to which you are going, but I sincerely hope, sir, that you have also heard comment by the leader of government business in the House, which he has also agreed with the introduction.
Well, Mr. Boyce could have his opinion. He's entitled to that. I entitled to mine. And Ron Jones entitled to his. I generally do not agree. Hold on before you go. I can decide if you're going to your second or not. Just hold on. Mr. Ronald Jones has consistently made this point. All right? I and a number of security people that I've even talked with, but even before talking to them, I can see for myself, it doesn't make sense having metal detectors. What it makes better sense to have random searches. You can have those portable metal detectors that we spoke of earlier, where they do a scan when they make the random searches. That would be much more effective. Mr. Boyce is entitled. Mr. Boyce is entitled to his opinion, but I don't agree with it. Go ahead.
If you are making comment on random searches, I think that you are technically speaking making reference to Section 64A of the Education Act, which provide for the searching of children in cases where there was suspicion of an offensive weapon. However, leave that as it may, sir. I'm going to be very brief on my second point.
Thank you.
In one of Dr. Francis Chandler's recent column in the Nation Midweek Nation newspaper, an article appeared commenting on employees' future in this country with commercial banks, where there would be no more bank tellers. For quite some time, the credit unions in this country had promised to open a bank which had the blessing of former central bank governor Dr. Courtney Blackmun. Nothing has been heard recently pertaining to this important promise development. With the future plan of the introduction of DigiCell, Swain can bring this comfort to the non-computer literate. If and when people would be able to withdraw or deposit cash, it is not surprising because of the low interest rates paid on savings. However, the question has to be asked, what mechanisms would be put into place for customers to get their deposit out, especially those who don't like to use the ATM? This is an opportunity for the credit unions to capitalize, as the elderly in particular would be forced to get their savings removed. Would it be possible for the central bank to come to the aid of the elderly? I await your response patiently, sir.
The central bank can't get involved in that. That is the policy of a particular bank to do, to institute that. And quite frankly, the customers of that bank can decide what they want to do if they want to continue their business at the bank. If they're elderly and they decided that, you know, this bank is not for me and they want to take their money elsewhere, they should do that. I can agree with you that a lot of elderly persons and a lot of other people, not just elderly, do not, there's some people who just like to go into the bank and deal with the teller. There are some people who do not like the idea of interfacing with a machine only, okay? And it is unfortunate that this development has taken place, because it does not really take into account a lot of our population and how they feel. But the reality is that this is the way things are going internationally, where you basically interface with the machine. And it was bound to come here at some time. And as a depositor, you are quite free to take all your money and go and put it someplace else where you are comfortable. And that is what I would suggest those people who are uncomfortable with this whole move by this bank to do. Because, trust me, other banks will follow at some point. Anyhow, sir, we got to go. Thank you very much for your presentation. I always look forward to hearing you, because I know you do take the time to do the research. And that's greatly appreciated. Good morning. You're on Brass Tacks.
Very good morning to you.
How are you today, sir?
I'm not too bad, thanks. And how are you doing?
I am well.
Okay. Now, on CNN last night, I heard the governor of Florida say something. And I thought of it, and I said, you know, he's right. In that, with the incident that took place, he said it was a devil act. Then he went on to say, having detectors would be a waste of time, because if someone has intentions of doing something, for example, driving a truck to a crowded area, no one can stop them. If you're going to bring things into schools, they're going to find a way of smuggling them. And, you know, with that, when you hear of metal detectors, it is is of good and is of bad. That's all I'll say. Because, look, we have a prison here. And at times, you hear of instruments, weapons, all kind of different things found in there. And that's supposed to be a secured region. Now, it is funny that the educational system is still the same, because I think it needs a complete revamping. Mm-hmm. When you were going to school, Sanka, you ever heard the term world boy?
Mm-hmm.
But you know now today, that term has moved from world boy to bad boy. It was always, first I've got to say, it's always a good and bad. That's how it's a positive and a negative.
Tell me something, what do you think is the solution to this whole situation?
Good question. That's what I said about the educational system. First, I think we need to get back to giving, putting about some activities in the schools. I think we have to respect the rights of the teacher, the parent, and the child. Be civil. We have to be civil. I think we have to look at values whereby we start to give implement, teach good values.
Well, I want to cross you here and ask you, what are good values? It may sound like a strange, stupid question, but I'm asking that because the value system has changed. Do you recognize that? Do you acknowledge that?
Yeah.
So what may be, I don't know how old you are, but what certainly is my value system, and I'm close to 60, in the same value system as somebody these days who may be in the 20s.
You raised up for Grandmother Sanka?
No.
You raised up with
my parents.
Extended family?
Not really, but my parents. I'm a one-child.
Parents, okay.
But the point is that... the whole point I'm saying is that the value system that we had then is not the same value system now.
Right, I agree with you.
So when we talk about good values, what are good values?
All right. Good values is to implement some of what we, the older folks, have been exposed to and see if we can, in a influential way, get it over to some of the children. Because let me explain something to you. Just the other day, I came into contact with some youngsters. I think the oldest could have been about roughly 13. And there were 10 of them. But one individual was carrying on with the different RH and this and that. So I said to him, come here. Let me talk to you. I says, why are you getting all like that? That is a poor way of expressing yourself. What are you talking about? Let me poor express myself. Man, he hit me just now. I would just take a knife and trick it in him. I says, but that is not the way. And they started into explain. But the other says, man, he's always getting on. He always getting on with a lot of carrying on. He's vicious. He always want to hit somebody with a rock, cut them up. Right then, that tells me that if he does not get help, he would go on to be a product.
Mm-hmm. Huh? But also should tell you, too, that there are others around him who recognize that what he's doing is wrong.
Right. Now, the thing about it is, let's go back to the schools. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think it might sound strange, but I'm saying that it should be a situation where you should be observing your students. And you can't get all good. Agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I'm with you.
You can't get all good. And you should be observing your students from when they get into secondary, more or less, whereby you can then, I want to say, there should be in the educational system areas where you can, I will use the word pass on students to certain things. Okay, you see a guy that's interested, he's coming to school, he's not interested in the academic side of things. He want to pick out a bicycle, he want to do something else. Observe your students and then screen them and section them in areas. I also believe it should be mandatory that most of the schools bring in at times personnel from the police and the defense and the different organizations to speak to children, because you can easily change children, you know. Some people are inclined to go to good or bad. Please hold a minute. Yeah, back with you. Some people are inclined to go to good or to bad. Right? Hello?
Yes, I'm with you. Yeah. You go ahead talking.
So it's a situation whereby by you will know exactly in most, I'm not saying all, but in most areas, you will know how a child is going to develop, how he's going to be inclined to go on to do his A levels, his advanced levels. He's going to be inclined, he want to go on to do mechanics, he's going to be inclined to do math. You will know, you can get the feel of students in most instances. There are times that you will get some that will play the full right through and then shine bright at the end of the day. But the thing about it, is that, you have agriculture. You have manufacturing. No, we have a good thing here going on called solar energy. Have it yet been introduced to the school curriculum?